ear, bass on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm your host, Guilty Wilson, alongside two co-hosts today.
Eric Billingsley.
And Will Smith.
How's your daughter, by the way? She got whiplash yet? You know, whipping her hair back and forth. Yes, that's Isaac. Isaac Wilson going to be joining. We're talking about some things that are really nerdy and some really nerdy things coming up. We'll start out talking about X-Men, the movie. Eric, you're going to go see that sometime this weekend, maybe?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try not to spoil it for you. Just if any time it seems like it's going to be a spoiler, just stick your fingers in your ear and go blah, 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 blah.
Or if any time we say spoiler.
Yeah. We might say spoiler, but we might give you a heads up. We might. But anyway, also we're going to talk about, like I said, X-Men. We're going to talk about Loot Crate. Isaac's going to do an unboxing live here on the podcast rather than a pre-recorded version. This time around, he waited. He waited to, you know, unbox his Loot Crate this week just for the podcast. And then, of course, we're going to talk about all sorts of other nerdy things. And we'll close out once again talking about Indie PopCon. It's coming up this weekend in Indianapolis. That's right, May 30th through June 1st, Indie PopCon at the Indianapolis Convention Center. I can't wait. You know, Sylvester McCoy from Doctor Who and The Hobbit. John DiMaggio. Let's see here. Joel Hodgson.
Hodor.
Hodor. Yeah. What's his name? Christian Nairn. Also, just numerous celebrities. Also, they're going to have like one of the creators for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Also, I saw on their website, which by the way is indiepopcon.com, that, they're going to have Action Comics number 1 on display, one of the most valuable comic books ever. The very first Superman comic right there, Action Comics number 1, will be on display. And so, Isaac, bring a sweater with big, deep pockets, okay?
I'm going to be wearing a hoodie that's got its sleeves cut off.
There we go. We'll be able to sneak that baby out. Anyway, that's right. Isaac's going to be doing the cosplay as probably Scarlet Spider. He's wanting badly to go as Doc Ock. We're just not wanting to go out of town to get his costume parts. Besides, if you've already got one made, you're good to go. So let's start out the podcast. We'll start out talking about X-Men, Days of Future Past. Really good movie, and I will tell you, here's a spoiler for you, barely, that it solves all the problems that were created in the third movie. I'm not talking about First Class, but all the problems. You remember that third movie where they basically killed off everybody pretty much? Well, they fixed that. In other words, when this one ends, you can tell there's going to be more X-Men movies to come with decent characters, the characters we love and care about. So be ready for it, Eric, when you see it. I'm going to try not to do a spoiler, but the specifics behind this movie, they're in the future when you start out, and Sentinels are just destroying everything, not just mutants, but humans. The Sentinels have the ability to not only detect the mutant gene, but also to detect in humans if they could pass along the gene, and which just about anybody could. So it's the Sentinels are trying to wipe out the world, and they got the Sentinels now based on the genetic structure of Mystique, which, you know, she can adapt her body to anything, right? Well, they can adapt to any mutant power. And so it makes for some seriously cool battles. Now, here's the difference between, for example, Godzilla and X-Men. You're trying to decide which one of the movies to see this weekend.
See both.
We'll see both, yeah. Basically, Godzilla, there's some great action, but you got to wait a little while before the actual monster fight happens. X-Men, they start out right in the thick of it. They're fighting with the Sentinels right at the beginning. You've got Blink, you've got Bishop, you've got, Kitty Pryde and Wolverine, and of course Professor X and Magneto, all teaming up trying to fight off the Sentinels. That's how it starts. So it's right in the middle of action. What they have to do is they have to go back in time. What they've been doing to avoid the Sentinels. Now, this is not a spoiler because this is what happens right at the beginning of the movie. Every time the Sentinels attack, they send Bishop back in time just a little while to warn them, and then they don't do whatever it is, and it kind of erases that section of the timeline. So it's really an interesting concept there of time travel. Well, then they figure that they have to go back to when Sentinels were created, which is 1973, and you get that Lannister guy. He creates the Sentinels, and so what they have to do, they have to go back in time to when he creates the Sentinels, and before he gets Mystique's blood to use to create further Sentinels, which, you know, that'll have the adaptive power, they have to stop all that from happening. Bolivar Trask, that's it. Anyway, so they have to go back and stop Bolivar Trask, and what they're also doing is stopping Mystique, played by Jennifer Lawrence. They send them back, and they actually really want to stop her, keep her from killing Trask, because when she kills Trask, the rest of his team takes her DNA. They kill her, and they take her DNA to make the further Sentinels. So they have, it's a good time travel story where they got to stop something from happening. Well, Wolverine is sent back, because he's the only one. It tears up the brain on this journey. Well, his is the only brain that could heal itself immediately so fast that, you know, it wouldn't happen. So they send him back in time. It's kind of like a quantum leap jump. They send him back to an earlier version of himself. This is before Weapon X got hold of him and put adamantium all over him. So he's got the spiky things coming out of his fists, but they're not covered in adamantium. They're just the bone.
Which would be pretty painful if you kind of like tried to cut cement by accident.
Yeah. Well, there's one point where he hits some metal and he breaks off a piece of it, but it grows back. So I was like, well, that's kind of a good way to look at it. So they send him back in time into his own self, and he remembers everything. And each time, Magneto can't quite, you know, stick to the game. He tries to do it on his own. And each time they jump back to the future, and something has changed slightly, and the battle is not, it's actually going worse. So they got to stick to the plan, and they'll do it right. Well, they never really do, but they do end up changing the future. And it really, at the end of the movie, continuity is all wrapped up to where there's more X-Men movie can come out. Your favorite characters are able to come out in future movies, and they really fix a lot of things. Except they didn't fix Deadpool yet, but hey, they still got a movie in the works for that. So, all in all, Isaac, what'd you think of the movie?
I thought it was good. I'm not really a big fan of X-Men as much as I am, you know, like other Marvel stuff, but it was still a really action-y movie, and it was more action-y than Avengers, dare I say.
I know. Yeah, you're right. It was. There was no build-up to the big action scene. This one started you right in the mix. And I like that a lot because, I mean, with any comic book movie, if you're not a comic book nerd, it doesn't take long to catch on what's going on. You know, and that's the way they do it. They jump right into the action. There have been enough X-Men movies for people to kind of understand what's going on. And so, yeah, you're right. It starts out right off the bat. You're in the middle of it.
But you're telling me that Magneto is not a team player?
Yeah, I know, right?
Gasp.
Well, he is at the end, which is the future, which is the beginning, which is, you don't know. It's time travel always gets me.
Yeah, I love time travel movies that they've done well, and they actually pay attention to the continuity, and they don't break their own rules.
Right.
Like Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Yeah. Peabody and Sherman was one that broke the rules. But yeah, they do a great job with the time travel aspect, and even when there's mistakes made, they show that, and then they show how they can get around it, and what's... okay, this is not much of a spoiler, but what's really cool is at the end, the only person that remembers anything is Wolverine. And everybody else is like, what? What are you talking about?
Nah. Remember, because since he talked to Xavier in the past, Xavier remembers.
Oh, yeah, I remember some of it. That's right. That Professor X, he goes, yeah, we got some catching up to do.
That's because he knows what happened. He remembers what happened in the past, but Xavier doesn't remember what happened in Wolverine's timeline.
Yeah, and there's also the aspect where he read, at the end there, where he read Wolverine's mind and said, well, because he told Wolverine, you got to teach history. He goes, I don't remember anything that's happened after 1973. So it makes it very interesting. But it's
obviously I haven't seen the movie yet. Hopefully we'll get to see it tomorrow. But just from the description, it sounds a little bit like... Have you guys heard of what Terry Gilliam's vision was for The Watchmen? Because, you know, at one point, he was slated to direct it.
No, I haven't. I don't remember what his was.
Well, they just recently, like a few months ago, actually came out with what his concept was going to be. Now, uber fans of the comic, which I would probably have been upset with this because he changed the ending of the comic. But his idea was really cool and kind of related to what you're talking about. And I would have loved to have seen it as an alternate universe take of Watchmen. But his idea was you know the story of Watchmen, right?
Right.
Okay. At the end of the story, okay, all the Minutemen basically came forward to do their thing based on the existence of Dr. Manhattan.
Right.
He kind of was the zeitgeist behind the whole movement. And at the end of this, they realized that he comes to the realization that the position that they're in, they're sitting on the eve of destruction, so to speak, is indirectly or directly related to his existence. And because he is all powerful, he decides to completely erase himself from ever existing. Mm-hmm. And by doing so, there was never any Minutemen, and therefore never any escalation, and never any, there was never no escalation between the U.S. and Russia and all this stuff that was about to bring about the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And that was his solution to at the end of the movie. It's an interesting idea, and I would have loved to have seen how that panned out, but it's definitely not what was written.
Yeah, but this one, though, they did a great job with the time travel and fixing the timeline and breaking the timeline where needed. And the way they explained it, it just totally made sense. So now I thought one of the things on top of this movie, besides the time travel, one of the things I hear a lot of complaints about, which surprises me, is that there were too many X-Men in it. Now, during some of the battle scenes in the future, and then when the future is corrected, you do see a lot of them make small appearances. You know, you don't see very many of them for long. Like, for example, Quicksilver, which, by the way, Quicksilver is awesome in this movie. The guy from American Horror Story that's playing him, what's his, Evan?
Evan Peters.
Evan Peters, yeah.
And he plays Peter Quicksilver.
Yeah, Peter Maximoff. Huh. Anyway, he does an awesome job of playing. I loved his Quicksilver, his version of Quicksilver. Because basically he's just he has this power, and he's always, he's also kind
abusing
of
it.
Yeah, abusing it. Yeah, he's kind of a kleptomaniac, let's put it that way.
With great power comes no responsibility.
Yeah, for him. And, you know, he's kind of abusing it, but he's abusing it in a cool way. I mean, they go down to his room, and he's got, like, and this is, again, this is 73. He's got a video Pong game, which he plays against himself, and then he's got all sorts of TVs and stuff like that. So it's really interesting the way he is. And then when he uses it to break Magneto out of the Pentagon, I don't know if I want to give the... Isaac, what do you think? Should I give the spoiler about JFK?
Nah.
Okay, all right. Sorry, Eric, you have to watch the movie.
That's all right.
But anyway, they break Magneto out of... But the way he uses his powers in there and the way they filmed it is just so fun. It's a lot of fun. And the Quicksilver character actually... seems like a lot of fun. Now, I know there's going to be some fanboys complaining, but, you know, because he's supposed to have been almost like Magneto. Peter Maximoff is supposed to have, like, a rough life. But you can see he had a rough life, but he's kind of having fun with his power. So, again, though the sequences of Quicksilver, awesome. You don't. I complain that you don't see him enough in the movie. And then, again, you got, like, Blink, Bishop, Kitty Pryde.
I've got it up here. There's Rogue, Beast, Storm, Mystique...
Yeah,
Rogue is in it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well.
Oh, okay. I didn't think she was in it.
Well, not for
only
long.
For a little bit.
Like, then that's the thing. There's so many characters in there, and in the X-Men world, there's so many X-Men, and they try to show several of them, but some
Colossus.
Of them are only there for a few seconds. Some of them are there actually fighting more, but
some of them they're there the entire time.
Yeah, the way they separate it out, they just want you to know that X-Men world is huge. And I don't think the complaint that there are too many X-Men in the movie is valid, because of the way they use it, it's perfect.
Okay, now Kitty is the one that walks through walls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. She's also the one that sends the Wolverine kind of back in time.
Yeah, she's able to send him back in time in his own brain, so...
I thought the kind of evolution of her character from the beginning was kind of interesting, because in the first two movies, I don't think she has any lines, and she's played by a different actress, but you just see her, like, you know, in a couple of gratuitous shots running through walls, and that's about it. And then in the third one, they cast her as Ellen Page, and suddenly she has this very expanded character. And I saw that Ellen Page was in the cast list, so I knew she was back.
Yeah, she's Kitty Pryde.
Now, is Pyro and Iceman, they're both...
They're both
back. Are there any characters who have been in the previous movies who aren't in this film?
Well, the only one is Rebecca Romijn.
Right.
I thought they were going to show her in the future at the end of the movie, but they didn't, because Jennifer Lawrence, she plays the young Mystique throughout, and they don't really talk about the older Mystique, and so it's just Jennifer Lawrence throughout. So I'm thinking they're going to keep with her and actually let her age.
And Wade Wilson doesn't return.
Yeah. So it's one of those that, she's the only one that doesn't return. She's the only one. You see
the
all
Beast is back?
At the beginning, you have the guy from First Class, and at the end, you have Kelsey Grammer.
Okay, cool.
So, which is, I thought was really nice, because at the end, again, at the end, you just see several of them at glances, and Beast walks by at the end with the Kelsey Grammer voice, and I'm like, oh, awesome, you know, because I liked him as Beast. He was cool. So,
me too, yeah.
But I can't tell any more without giving any spoilers, I won't.
That's enough.
But I'll just say that you jump into the action, and the action takes place. There's lots of fun moments. And for you ladies out there, you get to see Hugh Jackman's butt. For you guys out there, you get to see Jennifer
Lawrence. Hugh Jackman's butt?
Yeah, Hugh Jackman's butt. But for you guys, the heterosexual men out there, you get to see Jennifer Lawrence painted in blue throughout the whole movie. So... it's definitely a lot of action, great storyline, and anytime Wolverine gets out of a waterbed and you see his butt, I think that makes a great X-Men movie.
What is Wolverine? Deadpool now? That sounds like something Deadpool would do. Slop off of a waterbed and get up with no clothes on.
Yeah, but you've seen Wade Wilson without his costume. That's gross, all that cancerous skin.
That's why it's Deadpool.
So now we're going to move on to something else. Now, this is the Loot Crate unboxing. Isaac has saved it to do it live on the podcast. So what he has to do, he has to leave his computer station and come in here where I have a microphone set up. So, Isaac, come on in. Let's do this Loot Crate unboxing. Eric, you're going to get to hear the description of the items. This week, it was adventure.
Oh, boy.
The adventure theme, it's mixing, from what I've seen on their website, mixing Adventure Time and Minecraft. So, all right, we're unboxing the Loot Crate. And here we go. First item I can see right off the bat is a cool T-shirt. By the way, Loot Crate, if you haven't checked them out yet, you can go to lootcrate.com and check out what they do. Basically, it's a monthly box of swag. And that's really cool. A monthly box of swag that... you get all sorts of neat gifts, ideas, and from the Nerd Kingdom. So this week, the adventure is the theme.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
Like just adventure?
Yeah, like Adventure Time, Minecraft, and Zelda.
Yeah, and Zelda, yeah, that's right. Oh, by the way, they're having a new Zelda game that's going to be called Hyrule Knights or...
I don't know.
Hyrule, and it's not going to feature the princes, so they can't call it Zelda anymore. All right, let's go with the unboxing. Let's check out the T-shirt first. I said that's the first and foremost thing I saw.
Okay.
It's a black T-shirt. It's got Link. He's drawn with words.
It's like Wordle. I think Wordle? Is called the website. We just recently did. Well, it's not like that because it's actually art of Link, but it was kind of like a collage of all sideways words and other stuff.
Well, this one here, like his sword, it's the word, a courageous soul forms the blade, or the words, and then epic, and then ally are part of the hilt of the blade. His arm, it says bird rider and hero, and all sorts of other really cool, basically, the picture of Link is drawn with words, and it looks really cool. It describes a hero, and I like the Twilight Bomb, that's one of the words, Dungeon Seeker. And
masks.
So that's a really cool T-shirt. All right, what else we got in the Loot Crate box this month?
We've got a sticker set with YouTubers. I'm not sure who the anime girl, Josh Jepsen, and Maker are, but I do know who all the rest are, because that's Jay Witz, a guy who hosts Pokemon channels. Well, that a Pokemon sense. Channel with reviews, and he's got like the Excalibur sword on his back from X and Y. He's got shield on as Zelda. He's got another Excalibur or whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called for the Master Sword.
So basically, and he looks kind of like Link, but he's using Pokemon references as his shield and swords. And then what's the one with the mustache there?
It's Markiplier, and it's a Warp Stash. It's
Markiplier with a Warp Stash.
Yeah, that's what the Markiplier's thing is he's got a pink mustache, and that's what his character will dwarf stash.
Oh, okay. So basically a sticker of some YouTubers. All right, what else we got? A
Captain Sparkles.
Captain Sparkles.
Okay. That's now over 4 billion subscribers, I believe. And then Polaris, who is just basically kind of a gaming channel like Machinima.
Oh, okay.
Kind of.
Okay, so there's a sticker set with those guys on it, or those and all represented. All right, what else you got? That looks cool.
A Minecraft hanger, but you said it was a
backpack hanger. Yeah. I can see on the front you got the creeper and Steve.
I'm gonna tear it open.
All right, this ought to be.
Ow.
Oh, paper cut. I'm injured for life. So he's got the it's a backpack hanger, and what'd you get?
A skeleton.
Skeleton. Okay.
So. Skeleton. It's too spooky.
A Minecraft skeleton. Is it a skeleton zombie or just a regular skeleton?
Just a skeleton.
Okay, skeleton.
A skeleton zombie you're thinking of is a zombie pigman.
Oh, zombie. That's what I'm thinking.
Where his skeleton is showing.
All right.
Hold on. All could I have gotten again? Pretty much every mob.
Yeah, okay. Each loot crate gets different ones, but basically you could have got one for each character in the Minecraft world. Plus, you could have got a sword or a pickaxe. So,
hooray
you
for variety.
All right, and what do you got this on this one? It's a bottle opener. What is it on there?
It's whenever you first get the sword in the original Legend of Zelda. It's not the Master Sword. It's just a wooden sword to fight. But in the original Legends of Zelda, it's the old man giving Link a loot crate, and it says, "It's dangerous to go alone. Take this."
So he gets a loot crate and a bottle opener. Hey, you know, you always need a bottle opener when you're adventuring, so...
Unless you've got one that sticks to the fridge. But, I mean, right. If it's portable, it's good.
All right. Now, this one, it's a 10 from Adventure Time.
It's and LSP, Lumpy Space Princess.
Lumpy Space Princess. Oh, my God. No, that's the other one.
It's Glob.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
oh, my Glob, girl.
And then, it comes with a figure inside?
I think.
Oh, so you get a 10 box.
Maybe it's like the Batman with a whole bunch of other stuff.
And again, Isaac uses his teeth to rip open the loot crate paraphernalia. So once again, a 10 with the loot, and then the action figure is...
It's LSP.
Oh.
I don't know what I expected.
Well, it makes sense, that being in a 10, so... All right, so from Adventure Time. So far we've got something from various YouTubers. We've got the backpack hanger from Minecraft. We've got, what's it, LSP from Adventure Time. And what a bottle opener from Zelda, which, it's dangerous out there, you could use this, so... Then what else we have here? This is a CD. What's that?
The Friendzone soundtrack. I'm slightly worried as to what...
Friendzone soundtrack?
Yeah, that's what it says. It says... Okay, the songs are... 1, Friendzone intro. 2, Dongles. 3, Death Spiral. 4, The Bunnies. 5, Saboteur. 6, Broken Couch. 7, Nintendo before... Wait, Ninny... I don't know. I don't know. I can't read it.
It's English. He has a hard time with that.
Font. 8, what's this track called? That's literally what it's called. What's this track called? 9, insert Dodger scream here. And then 10, hashtag Friendzone live.
Okay. Oh, cool. So the Friendzone, what's the Friendzone anyway?
I have no idea. Okay. It says watch Fridays 3 p.m. through 8, through 6 p.m. PST. So
Pacific Standard Time.
More Markiplier stickers.
Okay, so... Friendzone CD, and then Markiplier stickers, and is that, what's that, Captain Sparkles?
Hold on, yes. Captain Sparkles stickers, it literally says right there.
That's what I thought the word was, but it's too far for me to read. So Captain Sparkles stickers and Markiplier's, tattoos.
Tattoos, what? Yeah.
So, and then, of course, the commemorative loot crate button that you get in every loot crate. And again, go to lootcrate.com. Every month you get some different swag. I loved it when they had the zombie one. There's some really cool stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
But again, most of the time, it's $13.37. Leet is the price. And then with shipping, it comes out to about $19 a month. And you get more than $19 worth of merchandise each time, especially this T-shirt. This T-shirt, easily $20 at any site. So it basically paid for itself right there. But you get all sorts of cool swag from the Nerd Kingdoms. And this week's adventure... And they had Minecraft, Adventure Time, lots of YouTubers, and Link. And, man, it's just interesting stuff. So that's what he got. That was the Loot Crate unboxing this week, or this month. And now let's get on with the regular podcast.
All right, I'll be back, but play some intermission music.
I gotta say, that whole thing made me feel like much less of a nerd, because I have no exposure to any of that stuff. I mean, I know... what Zelda is, and I've heard it's a great game. I've never played it, believe it or not. And I know what Pokemon is, and I hate Pokemon.
What?
I hate Pokemon, I do. And Minecraft, I tried to play Minecraft a number of times, and I just don't get it. I know the kids love that stuff. I just don't get it.
Well, it's
After a while, completely honest.
Basically, it's a creative game where basically you just create a bunch of stuff. When I mean, sure, there's the adventures part of it. You can get on some of the servers and play against other players. Didn't they have like a Hunger Games thing a few times, Isaac?
There are servers with multiple mini games that aren't about regular Minecraft at all.
Yeah, and so you kind of battle each other. But I think the most fun in Minecraft is
either single player or multiplayer with friends. Whenever you're just surviving and not actually doing like the other boring stuff.
No, when you're just building stuff, I love it. Because like when you and I built that castle, that lighthouse castle, that was so awesome. It
was
just fun.
That was still technically that was on the Xbox version.
Yeah.
And at the time, creative mode wasn't out, so that was technically survival mode with duplicating.
Okay.
Stuff.
Well, we were surviving pretty well, building a castle. And, I like that aspect. In fact, Isaac, you on Xbox mode, you and a couple of other friends around here, you guys built almost like an amusement park with your mine. This is before they even had the capability where you guys created a roller coaster using the stuff. So, and again, that's the fun. It's just the creative aspect linked in with survival. And so it's one of those. I don't know. You have to put it down after a while because you do get bored with it, I think.
Yeah, I'm recently kind of getting back into it, but that's only because A, it's a computer version, and B, I'm installing too many mods for the computer to handle. Like the Minecraft has gotten so un-Minecraft like now because I've got elephants and Pokemon and. Yeah,
I would say you're losing the Minecraft part. All right, but yeah, it's one of those fun things, and yeah, it does. Every time we get one of these loot crates, Eric, there's times I don't know anything that's in the box, but then there's times where, like, they had one that had like almost every Marvel and DC. I mean, you had Batman, it was just a really cool box. So you never know what's going to happen. Each month is a different theme, and they throw in some really cool swag. And if you see me walking around with really nerdy things, it's probably because Isaac gets nice once in a while and gives me some of his loot crate swag. So, all right, so let's move on with the rest of the podcast. We're going to talk about some television stuff, and we'll see what Eric's got to talk about. And one other thing. Oh, and we'll close out talking about Indie PopCon. So, television, Eric, I know you've been in rehearsals pretty much all week.
Yes, I have. So I'm not sure that I've seen any television since our last podcast, but it might be of interest to some of our audience that what happened this week at one of our rehearsals. We had, it wasn't rehearsing the play. We actually had a workshop that was led by Reiko Aylesworth. She's a television and film actress. It's done many, many different things. I personally know her best, and many of our viewers probably will, as Michelle Dessler from like 5 seasons of 24. Yeah, she was. She worked at CTU with Jack Bauer. She's probably holds the record for the longest surviving character until she actually got blowed up in a car, which really upset me because she's totally cute and I love the character. And anyway, her father is the one who's directing my shows, which is very cool. And he had her and her husband come down to do a workshop with us. So she led us in an improvisational skills workshop. And then her husband, who is this, serious, esteemed scholar and director of Shakespearean productions. He's directed at the Steppenwolf. He cut his teeth and was trained at the Royal Shakespeare Company. He's worked with actors like Derek Jacobi, Judi Dench, and this one will actually be meaningful to our nerds, with David Tennant, who he had nothing but great things to say about. And he gave us a Shakespeare workshop. So that was a really amazing experience. But because I'm involved with all that, I didn't get to watch any TV this week, so.
We can understand that, I guess. But, well, let me tell you, I've been catching up on a few things. I still am behind on a few shows. I'm still getting caught up on Believe, since it's going to be the only season. They actually finally revealed that to Beau's father, what's his name, Tate, they revealed to him that it's his daughter. He hasn't revealed to her yet, but that's where I'm at in the series of Believe, which, again, this is going to be the only season of it. So I'll enjoy it while I can. And that way, we'll in our minds, we'll pretend it wasn't an episodic show. It'll have one story to tell. So even though they were probably going to turn it in the other way around. But anyway, so I haven't got to the season finale of that. Season finale of Supernatural. Wow. I just have to put, they finally came to the point where they're going to battle Metatron. And again, not the Transformer, that's Megatron. Metatron, who is the scribe of God, who's written it all down. Anyway, he's wanting to become God because God has been absent throughout all 9 seasons of Supernatural. That's one of the things they've been trying to explain. He just took off and there's no God, so he's wanting to be God. Well, there's a big war, so to speak, and they kill Metatron, or put him in prison anyway. And Dean has the blade, the first blade, which is carried by Cain. And, you know, Cain slew Abel, right? You know this story. Well, he's also a demon slayer, and Cain is also a demon himself because of what he did. And he has the first blade, which is made from the jawbone of a jackass. Also, biblical scholars, you'll know the mark of Cain. Well, Dean carries the mark of Cain. Cain himself transfers the mark of Cain onto Dean so that he can wield this first blade and kill anything. Anything can be killed with this blade. Anything. The problem is that it's going to be a spoiler here, season-ending spoiler, but it's been about a week or two since the finale. It's been about a week since the finale. Dean has become a demon. So, interesting, very interesting twist for this season finale. But I will say this. One thing I loved about it is they opened, like they did with every season finale, they opened it up with Carry On My Wayward Son. I love that song. And every time Supernatural does it, you know that's going to be a season finale or a season opener. But anyway, so that's how the season ended. Dean has become a demon. One more season left. We'll see what they can do with it. But anyway, so TV, it's now we're moving into the summer season. How's 24 going, Eric?
I have only seen the first 2 episodes, I guess, because I haven't seen anything this week. So, I'm liking it. It's the first 2 or 3 episodes are always just kind of setting up the pieces and exposition, and not a whole lot happens in those episodes. But it's good. It's starting off like an exceptionally good episode or a season of 24. I just got to get caught up.
Now, this is going to be a shorter one. There's not going to be 24 episodes. It's only going to be 12.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing I like. This one, I might actually watch this season because there's so few episodes to watch. So, I might have to.
It's kind of a bummer that it's just a one-off. I thought that this was going to be returning to television, but apparently this is just to wrap up the whole story. So, they're not planning on doing another season after this one, which is kind of a bummer, but.
Yeah.
Enjoy it for what I can.
I'm not sure if I'm really interested or not, but Stephen King's Under the Dome is supposed to make an appearance later in the summer. And
I like it.
I liked it until the very last episode. And I'm like, what? It's like you're going somewhere else now. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
So everyone knows the first episode of the season is actually written by Stephen King, and he's doing a cameo of some sort in the episode. Don't know what how much of a part and how much he's going to be on screen, but I did read that. And more Stephen King news is I read that they have greenlit a movie, theatrical version of It.
Oh, which, really?
Yeah, which I was never a big fan of It. I think we talked about that.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But I would probably go see it if it's got a decent director and a decent cast.
Yeah. Even though it has that loopy ending.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll correct that in the movie. Doubt it, but
it would be nice, yeah, because I just have trouble getting past that whole thing. But but we already had that discussion.
Yeah. Speaking of cameos, that's going back. Stephen King makes a cameo in just about every movie based on one of his books. Except I don't remember seeing him in Lawnmower Man, nor do I remember hearing the story that Stephen King wrote in Lawnmower Man.
But, yeah, that wasn't there either.
Yeah. But anyway, the X-Men movie, even though it was a Marvel property of sorts, I didn't see Stan Lee in it.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, now that I remember at the end of the movie, I told Isaac, I said, hey, where was Stan Lee? I didn't see him. And if he's there and I missed him, you got to let me know, Eric.
He was in the third one, I think, and that's the only one in the series that I remember seeing him doing a cameo in.
I thought he did a cameo in all of them. I don't know.
I only remember him in the third one where he's like he's watering his lawn during the whole thing with the Phoenix at her parents' home.
Oh, yeah.
The water and the hose starts going up in the air.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's the only time I remember seeing him in the series.
So maybe he just didn't do the X-Men movies. I don't know. But he wasn't in there. So, all right. Anyway, moving on. Let's see here. I just finished rereading or actually listening to the audiobook version of The Speaker of the Dead, which is book two to Ender's Game. And The Speaker of the Dead, which happens about 3,000 years after Ender's Game. If you saw the movie, then you know. If you've read the book before, then you really know. Basically, he's got the Hive Queen, you know, the buggers from the movie and the book that, you know, almost got rid of human race, but he destroyed every single one of them except for this egg, the Hive Queen's egg, and he's trying to find a home for it. The audiobook version I had, I picked it up because it has one of my favorite audiobook readers, Scott Brick. If you're an audiobook fan, you'll know Scott Brick's name. If not, pick up the audiobooks for Dune. Every single Dune audiobook was read by Scott Brick, and he just does a great job. Not the abridged versions, which were done by Tim Curry, which were like House Harkonnen and those first three prequels. Those are read by Tim Curry, but they're abridged. If you get the unabridged, it's Scott Brick, and that guy is just phenomenal with his voice. So that's the reason why I picked this up, but the audiobook is actually read by like four different audiobook readers, and it really adds to the story, which is a very in-depth story of Andrew Wiggin, or Ender, trying to find a new start for the race that he wiped out and dealing with that guilt. So it's a pretty good book, and I just finished it, and again, Scott Brick read it, but with the other people, it just made it a phenomenal book, so put that on your list. If you haven't read Ender's Game, read it first, and then read Speaker for the Dead. That's about all I've done in the book world. I just started a new book called Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library, which is a young adult book, and it's kind of an interesting story. I would say it's like a Roald Dahl book, you know, the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory book, Willy Wonka. But it's a librarian, a guy that creates a librarian. He's about as eclectic as Willy Wonka. In fact, they mention how much him and Willy Wonka are alike in this book. But anyway, these 12-year-old kids all get locked in the library, and with their parents' permission, of course. The first one to escape from the library by solving several riddles, which are literature-based riddles, they get to become the spokesperson for Mr. Limoncello's games and videos. So it's very interesting, Willy Wonka type, but it takes place in the library, and it's all based on literature of some sort. It's really a good story. Again, it's a young adult, and if you're a Willy Wonka fan, you'll notice the comparisons through the book. But also, it's just one of those fun young adult fiction books that are just thrown out there to have fun with and teach you that libraries are good things. So those are my books for the week.
Touching back on television, if everyone's not aware, Amazon signed a deal with HBO where they've got access to all of their past library. Even surprisingly, they've even got like the past seasons of Game of Thrones available. However, if you're a Prime subscriber, you have access to the back catalog for free. But things like, you know, Game of Thrones and the recent seasons of things like True Blood, you still have to pay for those. It didn't occur to me just how substantial that library is until I started like flipping through it. And anyway, this is a big boon for Amazon, you know, that's always been kind of the bastard stepchild of of Netflix.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Netflix still has a much, much better selection than Amazon does. And I really like their interface a lot better and their presentation. But Amazon's no slouch. I'm not going to say that Amazon is just a ripoff of Netflix, because it's not. They've got their exclusives and there's some advantages as well. If you're, you know, looking for a second streaming service, you know, you can't go wrong with Amazon. It's worth checking out. But one in particular, item that's on the HBO catalog that I dearly love and not a lot of people watch, which is why it only lasted for two or three seasons. It's a show called Carnival. It was from, I think, the early 2000s, I believe, was when it was on. It's an older show. It was never presented in HD. I've got the episodes all on DVD in standard definition. This is the first time, to my knowledge, it's ever been presented in HD. So I'm going to start watching the show all over again. But it's just, if you haven't seen Carnival, it's a nerdy show. It's very fantasy, and there's magic and all kinds of weird, weird stuff going on. It's kind of David Lynch-ish in its presentation because it's just very trippy. Highly, highly recommended. It's got the guy that was oh, I can't remember his name. He was in the Terminator 3 movie, and then he hasn't done anything recently because he was had some drug issues. I can't remember his name, though. He's the main guy, the midget from the Red Room in Twin Peaks. He's one of the main characters. Yeah, the midget runs the circus that this is all centered around. Clancy Brown, the Kurgan from Highlander, he's got a major character.
Wait, some people. Clancy Brown, he was in the TV series Earth 2, wasn't he, with Tim Curry?
I believe so. I didn't watch that show, but I that does sound familiar.
Yep,
and he was also some people also remember him from, he was the drill sergeant from Starship Troopers.
Yep, okay. Yeah, so I looked him up real quick, and yeah, he was in Earth 2. I love that series. That series was so awesome. But anyway, okay. Now, I wish I would have seen Carnival before, but now I guess I can.
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you haven't seen it and you've got Amazon, get on there and watch it. I think give it a few episodes. I guarantee you will love it because it's just like nothing else ever on television, and it's just so bizarre, and you just get sucked into it. And it's this, you know, epic tale of good versus evil. And it's just, it's really well written. The guy who created Battlestar Galactica, Ron Moore, was the author or the writer of at least a few of the episodes.
Okay, yeah, it looks like 2003, 2005 is when the series was out. So
that's very, very cool. The other bit of news that I wanted to bring up, which is very sad indeed, and has made me grit my teeth, and just because I was so looking forward to this, Ant-Man will no longer be directed by Edgar Wright.
Yeah,
he has left the project. They haven't gone into any details of why he left, other than it was creative differences, and they apparently parted ways amicably. There was no hostility, at least not that has been indicated. But I mean, I love Edgar Wright as a director. He is absolutely amazing. For those who don't know that name, I can't imagine there's too many in our audience that don't know who Edgar Wright is. He is the guy who directed Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World's End. He also did the Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and he produced Attack the Block. He's got an amazing resume. All of his films are worth watching. And he's just very, very talented. Mm-hmm. And I was really curious to see what he was going to do with this material. I guess we will have to continue waiting because we aren't going to see it.
Yeah, yeah. The perfect nerd director. And then
Scott Pilgrim versus the World is highly underrated. I didn't see it at the theater. I saw it when it came on video, and I don't think I was expecting much because I didn't remember the reviews being that good. And I loved it, and I think anyone that is from my generation that grew up with 8 and 16-bit video games will absolutely adore this film. Okay. And it's quirky, and if you haven't seen it, put it on your list.
It's going to be on my list. It's actually been on my list for a while. I've been wanting to see it, but just never have got a chance to. And when it was at the theater, it was there so fast that, you know, it's like it was only like a there for a week, I believe, when it was here. I'm like, oh, man, I missed it already. No, I wonder who they're going to get to replace him and why is what I want to know. Why did they have to replace him? Well, should we move on to Indie PopCon?
Sure.
All right, Indie PopCon. Once again, let me give the information for the folks out there. First of all, we're going to be there. Your Nerd Up Podcast podcasters are going to be there enjoying this event. You know what? Okay, there's going to be some podcasters that are going to be podcasting live from Indie PopCon. Don't worry about those guys. They're not as good. I'm just kidding. There's plenty of room for everybody. But anyway, they're going to be actually broadcasting live. We're just going to be there enjoying it. And there is all sorts of stuff going on. One of them, all right, I'm going to kind of run the list of what runs across the top of this the website, indiepopcon.com. First of all, you got that, like I said, Action Comics number one. It will be on display worth $1
million. Million dollars.
It'll be there. Also, Thomas DiPetrillo, he's a cosplayer. He'll be cosplaying as Bumblebee throughout the PopCon. I think that's going to be cool. I mean, out of all the Transformers, if someone asked me if I like any Transformers, after I say no, then my second answer would be Bumblebee. And so he'll be dressed up as Bumblebee throughout the whole PopCon. And looking at his costume, they got a picture here. It looks pretty awesome. So let's see, Bumblebee. Minecraft. I understand you can log on to their server right now, and they recreated the city of Indianapolis on their Minecraft server, on their the world that they created. It's downtown Indianapolis, and they show some pictures here, and it looks almost identical to Indianapolis. So there's the creativeness of Minecraft. You can log in and build your own piece of land and join them at PopCon to play Minecraft games and scavenger hunts in the game zone. We're going to be taking advantage of this. We might take part in a scavenger hunt. We'll see. Also from Firefly, you're going to have Ron Glass there, and also Barney Miller. He made an appearance on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, he was in a couple of episodes.
He'll be there. Kevin Eastman, one of the creators of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You've also got, I'm telling you, this thing is great. You've got John DiMaggio. You've got Joel Hodgson. John DiMaggio, the voice of Bender. Joel Hodgson, the creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000. Sylvester McCoy from Doctor Who and that Hobbit thing. Poorly done movie. Let's see here. I don't know. Those Hobbit movies just... I'm glad I haven't seen them yet because I keep hearing...
I like them.
I keep hearing that it's like not the greatest, but... see, here's the thing. The Lord of the Rings trilogy ruined the books for me because there's so much more in the books, and I'm a book person anyway, so that's about the only reason I'm a book person. You can get head sketches. Check this out. From the comic book industry, you can get free head sketches. Most of the time, you got to pay high bucks for this, but at Indie PopCon, they're going to have some free ones. Norm Brayfogle from DC Comics. You got Alec Savuik from Marvel and DC, and then Joe Staton. He'll also be doing some free head sketches, so that ought to be cool. Most of the time, again, you play some premium bucks to get head sketches from artists.
Yeah, that sounds weird that they're giving that away for free. I bet the lines will be a mile long.
I know, I can imagine. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're going to have, what's her name? Well, I can't remember her character's name from Battlestar Galactica. Candice McClure. She's going to be there. She was also in Carrie and Hemlock Grove. You're going to have, Buffy the Vampire Slayer Lovers, Nicholas Brendan. He's going to be there. Xander will be at Indie PopCon. Once again, it's May 30th through June 1st. And, here you go. If you're going to go, they're supporting the local food bank, Gleaners. The Rotary Club of Indianapolis has a food distribution center called Gleaners. And if you bring your canned food items, you can get some really cool prizes and a chance to win an Xbox One. You can also make $10 donations and stuff like that if you don't bring actual cans. So if you're coming from a long distance and don't want to bring, you know, have that can of pork and beans last the whole drive, you can actually pay $10 to this and get entered for the Xbox One. They got these limited supply rubber bracelets that they'll be giving out that represent various aspects of Indie PopCon. So you got that going on. There's just a lot of stuff going on. Eric, are we going to be able to handle this?
Well, that's why I'm there for 3 days.
Well, lucky you. I'm only going to be there for two. Also, hey, the best place to buy some old comics, there'll be some for sale up there. So, I got to mention Isaac's favorite, Bad Luck Brian. The redheaded braces-wearing kid on all those memes, Bad Luck Brian, will be there in person talking about how YouTube and memes have changed his life. So, Eric, I know you're going up there Friday night, May 30th. You're going up there just for the Joel Hodgson, what would you call that, presentation?
Q&A, whatever.
Yeah, so you're going up there for that. I'm wondering if I'm going to get some photos taken, if I'm going to pay for some of the photos. Every con I've ever gone to, I've never paid to get a photo taken, and every time I leave there, I go there with it's like, I don't need my photo taken with anybody. And then when I leave, I'm like, I should have done that. So, again, it'll be one of those moments where, like, I'm not sure if I will, but I'll probably regret it when we leave. A cosplayer, a Deadpool cosplayer will be there talking about being Deadpool. To be Deadpool is not consent. So, I'll take a look at something. Making board game from concept to execution. You got that. Pro Wrestling Funtime Arcade Panel. Oh, here we go. Steampunk versus Dieselpunk. I've just recently started enjoying steampunk. And actually, it was that Free Comic Book Day comic book about Star Wars, Steam Wars, a steampunk version of Star Wars, which really was like, hey, this is actually kind of cool. So, and Dieselpunk, it's even one step further. So there's all sorts of... I'm trying to find the Joel Hodgson. Riffing Myself, Joel Hodgson's one-man show, 6 o'clock Friday. He riffs on himself. He'll take you through his career and how he started Mystery Science Theater 3000 in a fun and entertaining way. Adult Swim, the minds behind Adult Swim will be there. Gosh, that's just Friday night. You can meet the Power Ranger, the Red Power Ranger. And, of course, the free concert with Paul and Storm, and I still haven't checked them out on YouTube. Tim Mattson highly recommends those guys. Candice McClure will be at 1 o'clock Saturday with a Q&A panel. If you want to be a YouTuber and make millions of dollars like some of those guys, they got a panel on that. It's just going to be a weekend of fun. There's a Ron Glass Firefly Q&A, and just before that is the Game of Thrones panel, a Star Wars 7 speculation panel. And they do have a cosplay contest Saturday night. So I don't know if Isaac's going to enter the contest or if he's just going to cosplay for fun. But either way, the cosplay contest Saturday night, Sunday, starting bright and early at 10 in the morning. Holy cow, why they got to start so early? Kevin Eastman, the Turtles, he'll be doing his at 10:15. Pokemon, they'll have Eric Stewart, the voice of Brock on Pokemon series. They'll have him there, by the way, that weekend. So also, I mean, it's jam-packed, full of stuff. Kids cosplay, adult cosplay, all sorts of gaming experiences. I know you and Tim are interested in the Oculus Rift.
Yeah.
Going to be trying that out.
Yeah, I hear that some people are going to be like dressing up as like, you know, Cliff Huxtable and, you know, doing the whole Cosby play thing.
You're a nutcase, man. Cosby play. Oh, bad sweaters coming out. Oh, anyway. John DiMaggio and Eric Stewart, voice actors panel on 3 o'clock. I might go to that because I've recently taken to voice acting and audiobook narrating. And I might see that if they make my career a little bit better. May 30th through June 1st, Indie PopCon, a weekend just full of fun. It's like any other comic convention, anything else. You're going to meet a lot of people like yourself, and you'll enjoy it, and there's all sorts of vendors. You know, if this is like any other convention, any Comic-Con that you ever go to, you know there's going to be swag to be had. And not the swag like Justin Bieber swag. We're talking swag where you get all sorts of free crap.
I just hope that hotel bar is well stocked.
Well, the honor bar won't be so honorable in our... But yeah, Eric and Tim and I will definitely be there. Isaac will be there. We're still not sure if Tim's going to be cosplaying as the Riddler. He's got a homemade Riddler costume. His version of the Riddler, I think, is if you look at it, because it's not one I've ever seen. But Isaac's thinking about doing the Scarlet Spider. He's also thinking about doing Carnage. He's also thinking about doing Doc Ock. So we'll see which one he arrives with. But yeah, we'll be there all weekend. Eric's going to be there, and Eric and Tim will be there from Friday on. I'll be there from Saturday through Sunday, and then, you know, that Sunday night, Eric, there's a concert not too far from there. I'm trying to think of who it is. Hold on. I think it's Jack Johnson.
Oh.
And I may have tickets for that, so we may have to close out the night with a concert. You like Jack Johnson?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I might have to get some tickets for that. We'll see what happens. So there we go. Fun-filled weekend. That's this coming weekend. We'll be there. Ready to have some fun, and we're going to actually podcast from there. We'll record segments while we're there, bring it all back to you. Well, you know what I may do, Eric? I might set up in our hotel room the full recording studio, and we'll do a quality recording there in the hotel room.
That's kind of what I thought was thinking, and maybe, you know, and once we get a feel for this thing, is this the first one? Is that right, or have they had this before?
I don't know. I can't find anything that showed that they've done, like, it's the second annual or fifth annual or whatever. So
right,
that might be there.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, after we scope it out and see, you know, all these people that are actually, you know, have scheduled podcasting live from the floor, maybe next year we can reserve us a booth and do our podcast from the floor if it looks like something we want to do.
That might be kind of cool. Yeah, I don't know, that seems like work though.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
That's why I saw these. I'm like, they're podcasting from there. I'm like, man, I'd rather be enjoying the con. So I don't know, we'll see. Yeah, that's an idea though. Well, before we do close out, I got a couple of statements or a couple of things we need to point out to the listening audience here. First of all, you can still contact us via Twitter. Eric's at EricBill. I'm at Gil Wilson. But this week I decided to break down, and because we have one person that doesn't do the Twitter, I decided to make a Nerd Up Podcast Twitter. So we now have a Twitter for Nerd Up Podcast. It's at Nerd Up Podcast. Easy enough. If you want to send us a message that way, that'd be great. That way we can maybe we can get Tim Coker to start checking that one for us. So
that Luddite.
Yeah. So if you ever want to contact us, Twitter is the best way because it's so instantaneous and we can get back to you. And, you know, it's also safe. You know, it's kind of like meeting someone in a public place. No creepers allowed. Anyway, yeah, get a hold of us that. Also, on the podcast page, nerduppodcast.blogspot.com, on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see a little tab that says, leave us a voicemail. Leave us a voicemail. And if you have something to say, questions, answers, whatever you want, go ahead and record that from your computer, and maybe your voice will be heard on the next Nerd Up podcast. Maybe you can join the fun. So go ahead and record us a voicemail message. Again, that's nerduppodcast.blogspot.com. Also, if you want to subscribe via iTunes, maybe you're just listening to this from, the website. You want to subscribe via iTunes, go to iTunes and search Nerd Up Podcast, or you can search for me, Guilty Wilson, and you'll find a few audiobooks that I've narrated, plus you'll find the podcast listed under my name. So either way, find us on iTunes, the website, tweet us on Twitter. Nerd Up Podcast is the Twitter handle. So all sorts of ways to get in touch with us, and do so. We love it. We love hearing from you. All right, so I guess that does it for the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson.
I am Eric Billingsley.
Stay nerdy. Nerd Up Podcast.
www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.